So today we start a new series, and that series is called Simplify. I wish someone would simplify this gadget for me. Help. Now they tell me all I've got to do is press a button. Yes, yeah, definitely. Am I allowed? Is it scriptural to kick that screen or something? Hello? Are you receiving me at the back? They're twiddling with buttons there. To no avail at the moment. Anyway, let me just talk for the minute while we sort that one out. Otherwise, you can just click me for it. Simplify is based on a book by Bill Hybels, and it will be also our theme for our life groups during the week. And so what we say on a Sunday is kicking that off. Very much, this is something for you to talk about in your life groups. If you are not in a life group, I encourage you to be part of a life group. It's how we do life together. That's why it's called life groups. It's how we do life together throughout the week and throughout our time together as a church. If you're not part of a life group, see Richard. Richard, stand up and own up to who you are. That's Richard, one of our elders, and he heads up our house groups, our life groups. So if you're not part of a life group, see Richard. He'll be here tonight. Do come and join us tonight. Even if you're not signed up, Richard will let you off and let you in. But do sign up and be part of our life groups during the week. It's based on this book, Simplify. All the leaders have this and a leader's guide as well. But you also can have a copy of your own. There you go. Ooh, very exciting. And better than that, you can get them today at the welcome desk. Please visit our welcome desk if you're a visitor. And on the welcome desk, you can buy one of these. Now, the back of my book says it will cost you £9.99. £10. But we have them on sale at £8.50. No, we really have them on sale at £8.50. Don't overwork yourselves, right? I know it was just a shock at first. You hadn't got the energy left to go, ooh, really? We're saving £1.50 by coming to church, you see? There's always a benefit to coming on a Sunday. So if you want one of your own, we encourage you to get one. If you would like one of your own, you can get one from the back. If you don't want one of your own, then don't get one at the back. And the idea called Simplify, we are using it as a church. Obviously, this is written by one author, with one situation in mind. We are adapting it to Bourne Baptist Church and what we see God. Of course, the whole idea of the book is that many of us live life in the fast lane. Hands up if this week you got bored more than twice. Hands, all right, okay, we need to talk to you afterwards then. There are plenty of jobs, trust me. We all live. Hello, a bit of conversation needed here, right. How many of you are about to put your hands up after the service? Yeah, I got bored. No, how many of us get to places where we don't have... We live very busy lives, and we accept that. We accept we're a very busy church with lots going on, and you're all very busy people. But the idea of Simplify is looking at our lives and asking God to help us simplify them in such a way. And that doesn't mean to say give up everything to do with church. But it does mean asking God what we should and shouldn't be doing, whether it's at church or at home or at work. It's, Lord, simplify my life. Help me to get things sorted out in my life so that I can live for you. It's about living full, committed lives, lives that are surrendered, lives of submission to God, saying, Lord, you help me to live my life, to help me go there. It's life beyond our comfort zones. I think we may, as a church, rattle many of our comfort zones, including mine and Nick's. But we're here to see God simplify our lives, to take us into a new year in a very special way. So we look at this book, Simplify, and our first session is this one about being from exhausted to energized. How can we re-energize our lives? What can we do in God to see our lives with a breath of fresh air in this very busy life that we live? As Nick mentioned, our text for the year is John 10:10, which starts off that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the ways he can do that is by exhausting us. And that is his easiest thing. The devil doesn't always have to resort to some evil, terrible thing. He just needs to get you so busy that you're too busy for him. He just needs to get you so exhausted that you can't work for God. He needs to get you so tired that when it comes to communing with him in your quiet time, reading the scriptures, I just can't be bothered. and we sit back and give up. So easy for him. We make it easy for him. The devil comes to steal and kill and destroy our walk with God, but Christ has come that we might have life, and life in all of its fullness. And at that point, they all got terribly excited. Life and life in all of its fullness. God wants you to have a great life. Not there yet, okay. But he does. And part of that fullness that he has for us can only be experienced when we live life according to his plan, when we have simplified our lives so that we can live for him. So how can we better reflect God's fullness of life for us in our own personal lives, as well as him, as well as our life together here? So we're going to be looking at this idea based on our thoughts, and today we're looking at being from exhausted to energized from this lovely course. And I encourage you to really go through this course and see God moving in a wonderful and powerful way in your lives. Like many people, I have asked God if I could have an 8-day week and a 48-hour day, because I'm busy. The truth is, if he answered that prayer, it wouldn't be long before I was saying, could I please have a 96-hour day and 20-day a week, please? And it wouldn't be long before that time was filled as well. It's a matter of simplifying our lives as we look to God, as we seek him. We ended up over a year ago looking at tower service. What is the gift that God has given you? Identifying the place in God that you have. Not doing other people's work, but the work that God has for you. And we sought last year to help you into your tower service. And if you feel we haven't helped you in that yet, please come and see Nick or myself, and we'll help you in that, to see our lives fulfilled in the purpose of God. It's all about avoiding stress. There we are, I've gone too far that time, never mind. Avoiding stress and burnout. It's all about seeing God helping us and going forward. It's all about avoiding running on empty. One of the quotes I want to read from the book that's up there from Bill Hybels. Oh, there we go. We're getting there. There we are, is this one. Bill Hybels says this, that simplified living is about more than doing less. It's about being who God called us to be, with a wholehearted, single-minded focus. It's not about doing less, it's about doing right. It's about doing what God has called you to do, not about doing what everyone else has been called to do. It's about identifying where you should be in him and where you should be in daily life. Again, he says this. There we go. He goes on, it's walking away from innumerable lesser opportunities in favor of the few to which we've been called and for which we've been created. It's a lifestyle that allows us, when our heads hit the pillow at night, to reflect with gratitude that our day was well invested and the varied responsibilities of our lives are in order. That's what God wants us to do. So settle down at night and say, I fulfilled all I need to, all that God has done, wanted me to do, and I can rest that I've done my best. Not necessarily resting saying I've been perfect, I've fulfilled everything, I've not made any mistakes. We will never get there. I've never once laid down my head on the pillow, looked at Rosie and said, you know what, you're looking at someone who's perfect. Well, I tried it once and she laughed. It's far too embarrassing. We never get there. But we can get to that point where we lay down at night and say, you know what, I've invested my time wisely. I've sought to do what God wants me to. And with that, good night. That's what we want to be. You see, I think it's easy for us to get stuck in a rut, easy for us to get stuck with where we are and be satisfied with the lesser things. And I guess that in our busyness that we've created for ourselves or that has been created around us, the things that overcomplicate our situations that we find ourselves, we assume that there's no way out. It becomes the norm. We're stuck in a rut. We read today from the scripture in Luke chapter 12, that God says, Jesus told us not to worry. He says that life is more than what we see our needs to be. Life is more than your daily existence. Life is more than paying a mortgage, making sure the kids are well educated, you've got the latest BMW and Rolls Royce outside. Life is more than that. Life can include that, and that's absolutely fine, but life is more than what we see our need. The second thing he told us in verse 25 is that we can do nothing about it. He says you toil and you struggle and you weary, but what can you do about it, he says in verse 5. He says, who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? We can't do that. We can't worry about it. It won't succeed. We won't succeed. Next thing is he says over-concern about it leads to really to a lack of faith. See what he says in verse 29. He says, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after such things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. Yes, it's right to work. Yes, it's right to get things in order. But that should never be the thing that runs us, that overtakes us. The next thing he tells us is that the world do that. The world worry about it. He says the pagan world runs after these things. The people out there, they have nothing to fix their mind on other than the things they see around them. That's what they fix their minds on. Getting up the career ladder, getting a bigger house, doing this, that, and the other. That's fine. But if that's where your vision sticks, it's a very sad vision. They look around them. I was talking at the men's breakfast yesterday, and you know, there was a time in the Bible where they just looked around. At that time, the idea of looking to God was looking up, because he's the one in the heavenlies. Psalm 1:2-3 tells us that. We look up to God. We look up to God. The world don't. People who don't know Christ, what I mean by that, is that they haven't got anywhere to look. They can only look at their own abilities. There's nowhere else. But we who love God have him. So why do we worry? Why do we set our hearts and get stuck on there? Also, he tells us to focus on kingdom priority. The kingdom of God must be our priority. Verse 31, seek his kingdom and all things will be added to you. You see, God's not saying that things aren't ours, but put first things first. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things, all the things that the world worry about, will be added to us. Then he goes on that we have greater things than this. In verse 32, he says, do not be afraid. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. People who don't know Jesus can never see the blessing of the kingdom of God. We have something that can't be bought. We have something that money cannot buy. Or if we could just get our focus on these things, it will help us to simplify our lives, that we have more. It will help us to get from exhausted to energized. And the last thing he tells us there is to recognize where our true priorities are. He says, for where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. So we move on the idea that we stop saying that things are beyond our control. We can't do anything to do it. Things are in his control. It's not about decluttering our homes, but decluttering our lives to set our lives apart for him. We also read another interesting scripture there in Luke chapter 5. It says here that news about Jesus spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him. Surely that's what Jesus wanted, and it was right. They wanted to be healed of their sicknesses. But notice what it says next. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He often withdrew to be re-energized, often withdrew to have his batteries charged afresh, often withdrew to pray and seek his Father's leading and encouragement and guiding. He said that to his disciples when they came to him after a very busy time of traveling and telling people about Jesus. And they were exhausted. It says they were so exhausted they had no time but to eat. And Jesus says these words, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Recharge your batteries. So we seek through this chapter to replenish our souls, to re-energize. And it requires that uncluttering of our souls to keep things simple. Recognizing the important thing about putting God first. It talks about following him, submitting to him. But to do that, action is required. We need to do things. Action changes things. There's an act we need to do. And this morning, as you leave this place, perhaps you can go home and say, how cluttered is my life? And what can I do to rectify that? And I know you'll be considering that in your life groups too. One example is this. We read in the book of James that Elijah was a man just like us. There's another similar idea, and it's that idea when Jesus went to Mary and Martha, and I know you'll probably be discussing that in your life groups. But Elijah is a similar thing. Elijah was a man just like us. So we're looking at someone in the Bible who's not lifted up as a saint and is extra super duper special. He's just like you and me, it says. A man just like you and me. And he had some amazing things happen. He was able to announce that God is going to bring a drought. He went during that time to be fed by ravens. God led him to the widow of Zarephath, who gave him food. And we saw wonderful things happening. He even saw her son die, and then he had the joy of seeing him raised again and healed. He went to Mount Carmel, and a wonderful, powerful thing was happening on Mount Carmel, where the prophets of Baal tried to call down fire from their false god, and nothing happened. And along came Elijah and said, you know what? You're trying to set fire to that altar. I just want you to pour some water on it, as you would. I always say that I've no scriptural evidence on this, absolutely. This is totally down to my imagination, which Rosa will tell you is weird. But my imagination tells me that as they were pouring water on the fire, ready for their God, for God, our God, to set fire to it, I believe God turned it to paraffin. I've no proof of that whatsoever, but the David Hughes translation of that passage says so, and I'm sticking with it. But then Elijah called to God, and the fire came. He saw wonderful things, answered prayer, wonderful, powerful things. Isn't that great? And then we read later on that he talked to God and said, isn't this wonderful? Oh, sorry. He said, no, I've had enough. I've had enough. Take my life. Burnt out, weary, tired. Of all the wonderful things that Elijah saw, you would think he was on cloud 9 million. You would think his feet weren't touching the ground. But no, he said, I've had enough. Take my life. I'm weary. I'm fed up. That's what happens. James seems to have forgotten that bit. No, he highlighted. He was a man just like us. When he prayed, God sent the rain. But in between, I'd had enough. I've had enough. Running on empty. And what changed things? We read that he went into a place with God and heard that quiet whisper, that still, small voice, re-energizing his soul, taking time out, allowing God to touch him. A time for reflection. A time to concentrate on kingdom worth. What do I mean by kingdom worth? Things for the kingdom of God. Well, things that are not of kingdom worth includes things that are of kingdom worth, rather, include our daily needs, our time with God. They're of kingdom worth. Our work for living and these things are of kingdom worth. They're what we need to live daily life. But it doesn't include things that have no kingdom value, that sap your energy, things that make you run around in circles, getting wearier and wearier by the minute, running around in circles, getting absolutely nowhere fast. And I can assure you that happens there. Things that are of no kingdom value cause you to run on empty. But today, we've been looking at that passage from Luke. Getting things in order, things that allow you to live in the way that he wants. The idea is to stop relying on our busyness, to succeed in all that we need to do, and relying on God. There's also this comment in the book, of all the leaders, I must share this with you, of all the, you listening to this, Nick, of all the leaders I've had the opportunity to meet, from CEOs, executives, politicians, church leaders, guess which type is most likely to have a problem with being overwhelmed, overscheduled, and exhausted? The answer, senior pastors. quote a scripture, brethren, pray for me. But we won't worry about that one. Any pastor, any leader, any worker, there's always that a possibility. A picture he uses is the idea of a bucket. What does it feel like? Have you got an empty bucket or a full bucket? How full is your bucket? How full is your bucket? What does your bucket look like when it's filled to the brim? Does it look like a closeness to God? I'm sure it does. We feel connected to the Lord. We feel full on with all that we've got. We feel like we're running on all cylinders. We feel that our schedule is absolutely right. And we feel like we're eating right, exercising right, sleeping properly. That's what a full bucket looks like, isn't it? It feels absolutely wonderful. And if you can't remember, it does. It feels absolutely wonderful. One person asked this question, answered in this way. They said, They said, when I'm full up, I live the life that Jesus desires for me. Life in all of its fullness. Life in all of its fullness. When I'm filled up, I live life in all of its fullness. But on the other side, what's it like when our bucket gets empty? Some of you might be able to relate to some of this. Easily irritated. I don't know what you mean. Anxious. Withdrawn. Lack of focus in our lives. Overeating to keep ourselves going. Hiding perhaps in things like TV, games on our games console. I want you to know I never ever get carried away with games on my games console. Possibly because I haven't got one, but never mind. Spending to get our way. We can just buy ourselves something or cheer me up. Many other things. It feels like we're spinning all those plates like this plate spinner, and we're spinning like mad, and if we don't run to that one, it'll fall off, and then there's this one over here, oh, and that one, and we just run around like mad things, getting nowhere. Life with an empty bucket. What's your bucket look like today? I want you to turn around after we finish the service, just turn around to someone before we leave the church and say, what's your bucket like? Please do not be offended. Examine your bucket. Encourage others too. So how can we replenish our energy levels as we bring this to a close? Well, first of all, we asked, what caused your bucket to be empty? Why is your bucket empty? Perhaps it's things like afraid to say no sometimes, particularly at work and those that are around us, particularly if we want to climb the ladder at work, and there's nothing wrong in that at all. But to work extra hours, I have a friend. I have a friend whose work is very busy, and his bosses are always coming up to him and saying, I want you to work overtime, I want you to put more hours in, I want you to do more. And he is so afraid, and with good reason, that he will get the sack if he doesn't. He's constantly doing more and more hours, constantly working harder, constantly doing more things, afraid to say no. The need to accomplish, to feel accepted. The need to succeed. The need that if I don't achieve things, people will look down on me. Guilt. Guilt that I haven't done enough. Guilt that I'm not busy enough. The need to feel appreciated by people more and more. People do weird things to be appreciated just because they want to be seen that I like a person, love a person, that I'm of value. And so many other things. I want you just to think for a moment, just a very brief moment. What things have emptied your bucket, might empty your bucket, used to empty your bucket? What are these things? And then ask yourself another question. What will refill your bucket? What will bring you back to a full bucket, full energy, replenishing your energy, going from exhausted to energized? What will refill your bucket? Few ideas is reconnecting with God. It's so easy, isn't it, to get disconnected from God, get carried away with the busyness of life. Oh, I'm not talking about being, you know, too heavenly minded to be of any earthly use, and some people, it can happen like that. But I am saying that we need to get connected with God. Have that closeness with God. Spending more time with God. And the fact that, you know, we say, well, I would love to read more of the Bible, but I really don't have time. I can't get up any earlier and I can't go to bed any later. I always challenge people like that. You know, they say, I can't get up before 8 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, whatever it may be. I challenge them. If you were going on your holiday and your plane was leaving at 4 o'clock in the morning, would you turn around and say, oh, I can't get up before 6? You'll just have to fly 2 hours later. No, you'd do it. You'd do it because you want to go on holiday. How about having a holiday with God in your soul? Making sure you schedule time. We're going to hear more about that next week, but scheduling time for God. Making sure that God has your life where he needs it. Reconnecting him. Being close to him. Hearing his whisper in everyday things. And it's not just big holy things. Sometimes it's just life. I was once going through a very stressed patch. And I went out for a walk one day. And I went for a walk where I don't normally go. Just don't know why I walked that way. Well, I do now. But I just kind of wandered that way. And there was a pet shop. And I wandered in the pet shop. No need to go into pet shop. We didn't have any pets. We didn't have a need for a pet food or anything. But I wandered in there. And right at the end of this pet shop was a pen full of little puppies. You don't have to pretend you're hard-hearted. And oh, did that just settle me down. Simple. God leads us. Reconnecting with God. Appreciating others. Knowing that those around us, enjoying our life with others, appreciating our friends, our family, our church family. Appreciate one another. Have a look around quickly. I have to look at them, why don't you? Aren't you? They're lovely. They're great. Appreciate them. Be blessed by these people around you. They're great. They're wonderful. They love you. They pray for you. Thirdly, enjoying life. Settling down and appreciating what God has done. Find the positives in the life that you have. Exercise more. Take time out. Sorry, exercise. You can see my muscles are... Well, whatever it takes, whether it be walking, running, going to the gym, or Harry, or whatever his name is, going to the gym, whatever it may be, exercise. Take time out. You need it. Make an honest assessment of where you're at. And make plans to constantly replenish your energy levels in him. It doesn't mean giving up everything. It may mean even being doing taking things on, who knows. But adjusting things to allow you to do that. Replenishing your energy levels from exhausted to energized. Jesus says this in Matthew 11:28-29. He says this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me. That's where you get your energy levels replenished. Not by doing some earthly plan. Not by trying to do it in your own levels. He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest, rest for your souls. From being exhausted to energized in your life, in your souls. As we enter this year, new stages in our life, believing that God wants to do something amazing among us. We need to be in that place of rest with him. Not busying our lives to try and make a success, but being rested in him. Making sure our bucket doesn't run on empty. Making sure that our buckets are full, but full of the things he wants them to be full of. Let's just pray a moment. Father, we confess it's so easy for us to get busy in our lives. So easy for us to be one of those chains in that bridge that gets a bit rusty through busyness, exhaustion, trying to accomplish things in our own strength. Lord, we get so overwhelmed at times. But Father, we pray that from today, we will seek to run not on empty, but on full of you, full with the things that you have for us, not filling our lives up just with what we have planned, though that's fine, but filling our lives with your plan for us, that if we seek you first, all these things will be added. You don't want us to be without things. You want to add those things. But we put you first. We put your plan first. We put your energy first. Right now, Lord, we repent of that. Perhaps some of you need to do that right now. Say, sorry, Lord. I've exhausted myself. Not planned. Gone ahead of you. My bucket is getting empty, is empty. Lord, from this day on, refill my bucket. Refill my energy levels. Take me in the way you want me to be. As we come around the communion table, as we prepare to take the bread and the cup, as we prepare to remember that Jesus died for us. He didn't die that we might be exhausted. He died that we might have life. He came that we might have life. Life in all of its fullness. Perhaps some of you will need to come out to the prayer corner to my left afterwards and receive prayer while the rest of us go out and have coffee in the back hall. Come forward. Be prayed for. Allow him to fill your energy levels, to touch your lives. So as we take communion, as we come around, remember what Jesus did. Offer to him your busyness, your emptiness, and find his fullness, life in all of its fullness.